How's he still even walking? That will be a huge mistake. But please listen to what I'm going to say about what I'm doing about it. God is always with us. Okay, you got to push the play button up there. Could you push the play right up here? Da 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 da. Let's try it again. God is with us. Do you believe that? How often? Do you believe that? God will never leave you. Can I lovingly say you don't believe that? Because you act like it doesn't at times, and so do I. Amen? Like those other drivers. Excuse me, God, would you get out of the car for a second? I got to yell at this jerk. Anybody ever been there? I mean, you haven't said that to God, but you might as well have. Do we really believe God's with us all the time? With us in no matter what. It's amazing to me that 807 times it says in the scripture, God is with us. He must mean that for us to learn that. 807 times. God is with us. And the truth is, if God's for us, who or what or what circumstances or what dilemmas or what government or what economic collapse or what health issue could be against us? Because he's with us. About 5 years ago, my sweet and wonderful wife, we've been married 48 years, was diagnosed with Alzheimer's disease. I was planning to take care of her the rest of my life. If I had to stop the ministry, if I had to, whatever I would do it for her. That was my commitment, and that was my plan. But in March of this year, her symptoms changed somewhat. Well, changed a lot. Long story short, it just came to the point where I was not able to do it. I didn't sleep for 2 years well because I had to be on guard every moment. Taking a shower was a major dilemma because I didn't know what worry she would be. My kids came to me and they sat me down and says, Dad, you can't do this. It's going to kill you. So on March 23rd of this year, I placed my wife in a memory care facility. Hardest thing I've ever done. I love her with all my heart, still do. But that person is dying incrementally. Death would be easier because this is little at a time and so hard to watch. I have to keep reminding myself that she's safe, she's cared for, and if I were there, I could not improve her situation. Nor after I put my wife in memory care, my back started acting up again, and I had to have my fifth back surgery. I'm getting good at this, or bad at this, one of the two. I'm not sure what it is. I was down flat on my back for 5 weeks, unable to do anything. And I was amazed at the grace and the goodness of God. What if my back would have went out when my wife was still with me? I don't know what we would have done, but God had planned that all. And then as I was recovering, many of you know my son, Daniel, and he was here when he had some dilemmas with his feet and had to have surgery. He had surgery here, he brought home. Anyway, long story short, he actually had to have that foot amputated. So in July, he had his foot amputated, and I had to care for him because, you know, you don't get around and walk. And then in August, my daughter's husband had a heart attack. That happened in 6 months, those things I just mentioned to you. I was ready to jump off the bridge. Anybody relate to this? Like, where's the off button? And I want to share with you today what experience I've been dealing with and what I've gone through, but more importantly, where I am today. Now, these are very real. I see my wife every day when I'm home. Like Saturday when I saw her the last time, I saw her and got in the car and I cried. Because we can't talk about anything she doesn't remember. Our wedding, doesn't remember our children, our giving birth. I hate Alzheimer's. It's such a nasty disease. So demonic. But God is with us. But God is with us. But God is with us. See, I had to come to the point. Whoopsie. I got two things here. I got this, and I got this, and there are two and everything. Okay. I had to learn it's okay to be weak. How many of you are weak? In fact, it's not okay to be strong. Because if you are strong, you don't need God. And he will perfectly be willing to let you do it on your own. How many know on your own might not be so good? Hallelujah. And I'm weak. See, I am convinced that his strength is made perfect in our weakness, but only in our weakness. And so you're only a candidate for God's strength when you come to the point that you can say, I'm weak. See, but that's not common for us in the United States, in the West. We're to be strong. You know, if you fill out a job application, you don't put your weaknesses on there. You won't get the job, for sure. I mean, our whole society is based upon strength, and the kingdom of God is based upon weakness. And we have to choose to say, okay, Lord, I'm weak, but that's how you planned it. Yes, so that we could depend upon you. The Apostle Paul The Apostle Paul was talking about his own weaknesses, and he says, oh, Lord, couldn't you take this from me? How many of you have ever prayed that? I want to raise both arms and both feet. If I could get both feet up without falling over, I would. Oh, God. Oh, God, could you just take this away? Take my back pain away. Could you heal my wife? Oh, God. It hasn't happened. And the key is not that it didn't happen, but how do we live now? In the midst of it. Because life goes on. And things that we don't have answers for are dilemmas. They're still dilemmas. See, one of the names of God is Emmanuel, which means God is with us. Who's with us? How often? Even when you don't feel it? Even when you don't see the results that you're praying for? Is he with us? When I was in Israel, I found this carving in a little shop. I actually bought it from my mother because my dad had just passed away while I was in Israel. See, God engraved us on this palm of his hand because he cannot imagine a moment without you being before him. So even if you turn your back on him, he still got you. I carry around photographs of my family. If you want to see them, I have, I think, 248 with me. I'll be happy to show them to you. But God went beyond a photograph. He did something permanent. He engraved you. Why? Because he wants to be with you. Even if you don't. Even if you turn your back. Even if you get angry. God has a plan. So what is God's plan? What is God's plan? Heartache? Disappointment and grief? No. Let's look at it, what it says. Whoops, wrong place. Okay, oh, shoot. I put this together about 1 a.m. this morning after I traveled all day. And you can see the result. Sorry. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Declares who? The Lord. He knows the plans he has for you. Are they good plans?
Yes, sir.
Even when you don't get it. Yeah. Even when there's things that you sure would not prefer. Dilemmas that are horrible. I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you. To what?
Prosper.
And not to harm you. That's God's plan. And when things seem to contradict that, we have to go back to the Word of God and declare this is true. I'm going to back up a minute now. Remember this story in the book of Mark when this father was trying to see his son who was demonically possessed. And they tried to deal with it and they couldn't accomplish the goal as they called Jesus. And the father said, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. Today I want to talk to you about our unbelief because all of us have unbelief. Are you with me? Now, we do believe. You're sitting in this room because you believe. Amen? You've seen God do things that are amazing. Amen? We experienced something yesterday that was incredible. This does not diminish that. This does not lower that. This does not somehow water that down. Yes, there are things that we believe we have seen. I've been in the ministry for 42 years, and I can tell you stories for hours after hours of how God has done miraculous things. I believe. Lord, help my unbelief. Because I don't understand Alzheimer's. I don't understand why it's still there. It's so nasty. It's so evident of a plan of hell to steal her mind. I've had, I don't know, 100,000 people pray for me from my back. Many times sit me in a chair, gather around, pray all kinds of weird and strange ways and good ways. I have them, one person praying at the same time, turn loose, Doug, and another person praying at the same time, hanging on another part of my body, hang on, Doug. Well, turning loose and hanging on at the same time is why this PowerPoint's all messed up. And I have 5 back surgeries, and it still affects me every day. Can God heal me? Absolutely. Has he? No. Why? I don't know. Are you with me? That's my unbelief. So we need help dealing with those things that we don't get. That we don't have an answer for, that we don't know what to do about. That's all of us. It doesn't change the fact that God's been amazing and so good and so awesome and so faithful. Amen? But there are these things. The yeah, buts. How many ever had a yeah, but? If the enemy brings a yeah, but, you need to kick him in the appropriate place. That was funny. Who didn't laugh? That's my best one. Tracy was talking about worry. I want to give you a definition of worry. This is mine, so if you don't like it, garbage cans are out in the lobby. Here's my definition of worry. Taking responsibility for things God said he'd take care of. Whoops. That's still my best one. Taking responsibility for things that God said he'd take care of. Will God take care of you? Will God be with you? As I have walked through this dilemmas, I have been so amazed at how God has gone before. I had to make an emergency trip home from Korea. I was in Korea when my wife kind of came to the point where we couldn't do it, and my daughter was caring for her. And so I had to get back on a plane. The trip home was horrible, one of those 42 hours in flight. And all the time, I didn't know, am I going to have to sell the house? How am I going to pay for this? What am I going to do? I mean, as long as 42 hours, I was awake at all, and oh, it was bad. So when I got home, I slept, and next morning I started the process. The first phone call I made about trying to help with the situation with my wife said, well, there's no place in our whole county that she could go. That didn't seem to threaten God. That was March 8th. By March 23rd, I had her in a facility, all paid for, and I love the place. They're lovingly taking care of her, run by a Christian. That's my God. But see, on that 42-hour trip, I didn't have that information. I didn't know what was going to happen. See, we have these things when we have a problem and don't have the answer yet. That's called the time gap. How many of you ever have a time gap between when you find out the difficulty and until you find the answer? There's this time cap, and we often fill the time gap with a whole lot of, and God says, I'll take care of it. And today I want to challenge us that we come to a new level and we're trusting God in our unbelief. The things that we don't know, things that we don't understand, things that we're not doing well in. I still cry at times when I see my wife, after I leave my wife. She's never seen me cry for her because I want to be strong. But man, I dash out to the car and cry. And it's very real. And to see my son have this stump instead of a foot and trying to navigate and try to just do normal things like, if you pardon my bluntness, go to the bathroom. It's just a huge challenge. And it's, oh man, why'd that have to happen? Here's my brilliant answer. I don't know. That's my unbelief. God help me in my unbelief. The Bible says when. It says what?
When.
Not if. Not if. But when you pass through the waters, you'll not be burnt, not be flooded. When you pass through the rivers, you'll not be swept away. When you walk through the fire, you'll not be burned. It doesn't say if. It says what? How many of you have gone through any rivers? Have you gone through any fires? When you do, God's still with you. And see, if we, in our questions, in our dilemmas, in our times of not understanding, in our times of struggle, if we step back away from God and say, you got to answer this before I trust you, then you really, really don't trust God. And see, who's going to bring you through it is God himself. Circumstantial change does not bring you through it. It's that loving touch of a loving God that will be with you no matter. See, we don't base our walk with God on what we don't know. We base our walk with God on what we do know. And I want to tell you, I know God, and he's with me. He's with me. He's with me in my dilemmas. He's with me in my frustrations. He's with me in my hurt. I've had loving people, and I know they're loving. But they've come and say, I understand my mother had Alzheimer's, and I want to be loving and kind. My mom had Alzheimer's. In fact, she died from Alzheimer's. But it's a whole different level when it's your spouse. It's a whole different arena. Death would be easier. And I want to lovingly say, no, you don't really understand. You might understand some of the effects of the disease. I appreciate that. But when it's your wife of 48 years, my best friend, the person I'd rather be with than anybody else in the world. See, she's not there anymore. I haven't had a good conversation with her in 4 years. And what I miss the most is just talking to her. When you go through the fire. All of us have some type of fire or flood. And today, I think it's appropriate for us to say, Lord, help my unbelief. Lord, help my unbelief. When I left the restaurant business 45 years ago, I knew God had called me into ministry, but I wasn't sure what to do. I went to northern Minnesota because my father-in-law had a cabin that was 9 feet by 12 feet. I know you think your house is small. My son just had been born. He was about 6 months old. Well, 3 months old, I guess, when we moved there. We had to cook, sleep, do everything. Now, I know that you think it gets cold here in Louisville. I'm sorry. It doesn't. I've been outside at 67 below zero actual temperature. Now, we laugh at wind chill in Minnesota. Oh, it's 12, but it feels like 2. Oh, brr. I'm sorry. I'm a little sarcastic, but 2 degrees is a nice winter day in northern Minnesota. You wear shorts and a t-shirt. Well, in this cabin, there's no water, there's no electricity. Had to put wood in a stove every 2 hours because it was so small and the place was so small. My son got sick. He had a fever of 105 and a half. He was dying. There was no question. He was dying. And I got out of the restaurant business debt-free and penny-free. That's funny. We had no money. We were so poor we couldn't afford to pay attention. Come on. My car wouldn't start because it was 40 below zero outside. It also wouldn't start because it had no gas. It also wasn't any good if it would have started because the snow was up to the windshield. And I laid down on the floor of that cabin. And if I tried to walk to the neighbors to get help, I thought I would freeze to death before I got there because the snow was so deep and they were so far away. And I didn't think it would be good for Joyce to have her husband and her son die the same day. So I didn't know what to do. And I cried out, lay down on the floor, and I cried out to God. And God started to move. It was knocking the door. We had no food. Knocking the door. Someone handed me a box of food. I didn't know who they were. And if I would have gone shopping, it's what I would have bought. For some reason, I opened up my wallet. I have no idea why I did this, but I just checking. And here it was full of U.S. currency. And no human's hands had touched it. Neighbor wanted to talk to me, had a pickup and had a blade and pushed the snow out so we could get out. Next day, I had to drive to Minneapolis, had a quarter of a tank of gas. That's all. Put Joyce and Danny in the car, went out and laid my hand on the hood of the car. I'm not sure why I chose the hood, just not a good spot. And I said, oh God, you got to get us, Minneapolis. And as I drove, the gas gauge went up. And up. When I got to Minneapolis, I had a full tank of gas. That's why I trust God. Because you can't take that away. Are you with me? And what we do know will give us confidence to trust Him for what we yet don't know about Him. Worship team, could you come back, please? And I believe today, it's a day that we need to respond to God. Lord, help my unbelief. I have some unbelief. I have some questions. I have some dilemmas. I have some whys, and I have some why nots. I don't know. But this I do know. God's with me. God is with us. He's with us all the time, even when I don't understand and even when I don't feel it. Would you stand with me, please? I want to ask that you'd respond to God today. You'd respond by doing something. And I'm not going to tell you what that is. I'll give you a few suggestions, but you can respond in your own way. I think hearing something and doing nothing about it is worse than not even hearing it. So I want to challenge that you do something with your, but why, God? Well, yeah, but like me. Wife has Alzheimer's, fifth back surgery. Son had his leg amputated. Son had a heart attack. And it put me in a financial dilemma that was significant. Why, God? I want to challenge that you do something. Perhaps you want to come forward and make a declaration. Because, see, there are things that we need to do when you go through hard times. And I want to challenge that we do these things. First of all, we have to accept that we cannot change. I hate Alzheimer's, but I'm not going to change it. Now, I don't accept is like, well, I don't care. No, I just realize that it's real. And my wife is a container. Also, you do some spiritual warfare. And I want to challenge you to do some spiritual warfare by coming to the altar and saying, I trust God. God, you're still good. Even though I don't understand, I don't get it, you're still good. That's warfare. You're making declarations today about who God is. And then I want to challenge you to return to your seat, and we're going to worship. We're going to do what? The most important thing to do in dilemmas is worship. Yes. See, discouragement and worship just cannot get along. Amen. And worship wins. Hallelujah. And then finally, go do something for somebody else. Get out of your pity party. And I have to admit, there's times I've kind of wanted to, couldn't someone cook me dinner? You know what I did? I cooked other people dinner.
Hallelujah.
Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
Getting out of yourself. Getting out of the, what am I going to do? I don't know. The only thing I do know, I'm still going to walk in the character of God. And I challenge you now, as the worship team will play, I want to challenge you to do something. I think it's important you actually physically do something, if you want to kneel at your chair, but do something to say, okay, God, help my unbelief. Help my unbelief. There's somebody here, the Lord is just saying to me that your child that has turned their back on you and God, they'll come back. They're going to come back. There's somebody else here, the Lord just said to me, that sickness that has been diagnosed, you just found out about it, they're going to change the diagnosis within the month of October. Those that are needing financial provision is coming. Those that have relationship strains, God's going to work on it. I want to challenge you to do something. Get out of your seat, come forward, go across the aisle, do something, go pray for somebody else. And then go back to your seat, and we're going to choose to worship. And I want to challenge you, don't sing a song, but worship. As our brother was encouraging us earlier, we don't care what it sounds like. We don't care if it sounds like a whale moaning. Worship from your heart. And then as you leave this place, go do something for somebody else. In the name of the Lord, let's respond to God.